In the holy name of Jesus, amen. All things must come to an end. That's a phrase we hear in many different circumstances. Often we hear that phrase with a qualifying word thrown in there as well. All good things must come to an end. It's a little phrase that actually has been in the English idiomatic dictionary for quite some time, compliments of a certain man, Geoffrey Chaucer, who died about 1400 AD, author of the Canterbury Tales and a number of other works of literature and poetry. All things must come to an end. It's a fitting phrase for our current sermon series. Baptism brings us to an end, a spiritual death to the sinner, to the old Adam or Eve in us. Baptism completes its physical work upon us at our deathbed. Baptism does this by the work of the Holy Spirit, because baptism joins you and I to the death of another, Jesus Christ. But it also unites us to the resurrection of another, the same Jesus Christ. So though in baptism we die to sin, die to the condemnation of God's holy law, die to Satan's tyranny, we yet still live in faith to the one who loves us and who gave his life for us, who attaches himself to us. In John 15, Jesus says, "Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for you can do nothing apart from me." We also hear our Lord say something profound in John chapter 11. Jesus says to Martha and Mary, "Whoever believes in me, though they die, yet shall they live." And Jesus very well could be alluding to baptism there, while no doubt having the physical resuscitation of his good friend Lazarus in mind. He will raise him from the dead in just a little while, his friend whose life had come to an end. All things come to an end. It recalls baptism, but it also recalls the funeral of a baptized Christian, something we'll talk about in just a moment. And finally, we see how Jesus' life also comes to an end on the cross in our reading from Luke chapter 23, as he commits his spirit to his heavenly Father. And so, having talked a bit about baptism, let me switch now to the ending of the funeral service itself, an ending that we call the final commendation, something we will hear and speak together at the end of the service. Here is what pastors speak over the remains of a brother or sister in Christ, sinners claimed, chosen, forgiven, washed by baptism, now waiting the resurrection of all flesh. Brothers and sisters in Christ whose lives have come to an end, we say the following. Into your hands, O merciful Savior, we commend your servant. Acknowledge, we humbly beseech you, a lamb of your own fold, a sinner of your own redeeming, a sheep, a lamb of your own flock, a sinner of your own redeeming. Receive them into the arms of your mercy, into the blessed rest of everlasting peace, and into the glorious company of the saints in light. It is a final word of gospel proclaimed upon the dead for all the living to hear. We pastors, we come down to the remains that are brought here down the aisle before the cross of their Lord, proclaiming such good news, with our hands in the air, the posture of benediction and blessing. Because this dear brother or sister in Christ, who is commended to the Lord before they died, whose body entered the church and is brought before the cross of their Lord, whose friend and family and acquaintances have heard the good news of the gospel proclaimed of Jesus' victory over the grave, they now hear the gospel one more time. This commendation begins with proclaiming the one in whose arms they are commended, their merciful Savior. It's not into a certain political party's arms we entrust them. It is not into the arms of a certain nationality that we trust them. It is not into a certain social or economic class that we entrust them. And it's not even into their own family's name that we entrust them. No, they are entrusted into the hands of He who eternally matters, the Lord God Himself. They are entrusted into the hands of the Lord who can raise the dead. They, the sinner, sheep, lamb, are entrusted into the arms of God who made them, the God who saved them, the God who makes them holy through the words of Scripture, through the words that are proclaimed through the holy sacraments, the God Himself who was crucified, died, and was buried. And so just as we end the funeral service for our beloved dead with such a short and beautiful commendation, we are at the same time reminded also of the lengths which our Lord would go to win forgiveness, life, salvation for you, for me, for the beloved dead. As the light of the sun, S-U-N, failed, so did the light of Christ, the S-O-N, the Son of God, flicker and fail when He was nailed to the cross. Jesus was on the cross for 6 excruciating hours until He breathed His last breath, speaking His own commendation. Father, into Your hands I commit my spirit. This is why we remember Jesus was baptized just 3 years before. He was baptized to be the sin-bearing substitute of all humanity for you, for me. He was baptized to be the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. He was baptized and marked for death, linking His future with the future of sinful humanity. And those sinners crucified this Savior, accomplishing so great a salvation without even realizing it, these self-same sinners could also speak the truth without realizing it as well, as did the Roman centurion when he said, "Certainly this man was innocent." There is the Holy One, the Son of God, the innocent one, dying for you, for me. His death was for sinners, great and small. Sinners who also, through baptism, are marked to die, but also even more marked to live forever with God. All things must come to an end. What haunting words those are, without Christ, without resurrection, without baptism, without the Lord's promises to all the baptized, the very same Lord who Himself was baptized by John, who died at Golgotha, crucified with arms wide open to a world He came to save in great love, and who Himself would burst out of the grave 3 days later. What haunting words are those? All things must come to an end. For those who have no church, for those who have not their Lord as their God, who have wandered, strayed, or denied the one true faith. Because that really is the only final commendation that can be spoken over one who has died apart from Christ. All things must come to an end. Just imagine that being spoken at the end of a Christian burial, a Christian funeral. No hope, no joy, no promised future, just a dead body in the box, just a vase full of ashes. But this is precisely why we say what we do in the final commendation. This is why we baptize in the name of the Lord. This is precisely why we preach and proclaim the excellencies of Him who loved us, love that brought Him to die on the cross as a part of the Father's plan to save this world, to save people like you and me, to save all the cosmos. This is precisely why we proceed a dead, baptized Christian down the aisle to come before the cross of their Lord, that all may hear something else, some gospel, some good news, because yes, this life has ended, but there's something more coming. There's a new chapter about to be opened. There's a new page about to be turned. There's a new day about to dawn. There is light breaking out on the horizon because Jesus will return in glory and honor and power, accompanied by all the legions of heaven. The dead will be raised. A final reckoning will commence. Sheep separated from goats, righteous from unrighteous, the forgiven from the impenitent. Yes, all things old will come to an end. But that will not be the end. And so what better words to prepare us for such an end and to get ready for a brand new beginning than these? Into your hands, O merciful Savior, we commend your servant. Acknowledge, we humbly beseech you, a sheep of your own fold, a lamb of your own flock, a sinner of your own redeeming. Receive him into the arms of your mercy, into the blessed rest of everlasting peace, in the glorious company of the saints in light. May that promise be yours this day and always, as we rest and cherish the peace of Christ until he calls us home. Amen.